A reading from Waking Up White. Self-examination and the courage to admit to bias and unhelpful inherited behaviors may be our greatest tools for change. Allowing ourselves to be vulnerable enough to expose our ignorance and insecurities takes courage and love. I believe the most loving thing a person or a group of people can do for another is to examine the ways in which their own insecurities and assumptions interfere with others' ability to thrive. Please join me in opening your heart and mind to the possibility that you, yes, even well-intentioned you, have room to change and grow so that you can work with people of all colors and ethnicities to co-create communities that can unite, strengthen, and prosper.
A reading from Mark. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'"
They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them,
"What are you doing untying the colt?"
They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting,
"Hosanna! Hosanna!
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 Blessed is the one!
Blessed is he!
Blessed is the one!
Blessed is the one!
Blessed is the one!
In the name of the Lord!
In the name of the Lord!
Blessed is the one!
Blessed is our ancestor David!
Blessed
is the one!"
Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
The author E. L. Doctorow has described his craft this way. "Writing," he says, "is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way." The same can be said of life itself. We don't always know where the road will take us. It's like Highway 1 along the Pacific coast in California, if you've ever been there, weaving and turning around sharp corners, slipping through unexpected tunnels, and then opening suddenly into a breathtaking vista of the wide open sky. The view comes in bits and pieces, one stretch at a time. We can't take in the whole journey, even with the best of headlights or even in the daytime. If we could see everything instantly, we might have a sense. We might know what parts of the trip hold the greatest consequence, what chance meeting will change life forever, and which will be just a blip in passing. Where should we be careful, lest a careless turn lead to many lost hours of detour before a U-turn? But we can't know these things because we can't see the whole trip at once. Only looking back can we recognize what's of the most importance. Jesus surely had a stronger sense than most of the arc that his own journey would take. Yet his incarnate divine life plays out like ours, step by step. We remember those steps throughout this Holy Week, Sunday's joyful procession, Hosanna, followed by threatening encounters in Jerusalem, Thursday's Last Supper, betrayal, arrest, and desertion, Friday's trials, crucifixion, death and burial, before Easter rejoicing. Looking back from where we are now, with knowledge of the full journey, we can see the everyday moments and the encounters, even the overlooked figures that hold eternal significance in Jesus last week. Consider just one figure or character today. Not even a person, but an animal, the colt that was ridden by Jesus. Christ begins his Jerusalem journey by sending disciples to go ahead of him with one request. Bring me an unridden colt, he says, that you'll find tied inside that village just ahead. We might wonder how Jesus knew where the animal was, what the reactions might be in those who saw the colt untied by people who were not its owners, or if Jesus had somehow arranged these details in advance. But the poet Mary Oliver calls our attention to the animal itself, a donkey in other gospels. She writes, "On the outskirts of Jerusalem, the donkey waited. Not especially brave or filled with understanding, he stood and waited." How horses turned out into the meadow leap with delight. How doves released from their cages clatter away, splashed with sunlight. But the donkey, tied to a tree as usual, waited. Then he let himself be led away. Then he let the stranger mount. Never had he seen such crowds. And I wonder if he at all imagined what was to happen. Still, he was what he had always been. Small, dark, obedient. Mary Oliver captures well the ordinariness of this one creature's life. He is no leaping horse or flashy dove. The colt is a beast of burden who spends much of his existence simply waiting. Yet it is to such everydayness that God incarnate comes when Jesus enlists him into eternal service. We're still talking about that donkey, that colt now. When will our ordinary and obedient lives, seemingly spent in endless waiting for whatever is just around the corner, when will we suddenly manifest the eternal light shining through? Can we recognize when transcendence calls for us now in morning sunlight? A child's hello, a smile from a stranger, the smell of baking bread, or any shimmery moment that carries gratitude down the streets of the heart. One of my pastor friends, Reverend Rachel Small Stokes, wrote to a group of us pastors this morning. She said, "One thing that's coming out of this quarantine time is that none of us can be heroes. And yet somehow all of us can be heroes in little ways. Though we don't always know the full importance of each moment when it passes, we can be of better, more joyful service to God if we wait with the patience of a colt and with its willing expectancy. If we commit our lives to be of service to God for the realm of heaven, come to us in everyday ways here on earth." Throughout this season of Lent, we've been focusing as a church on white privilege, waking up to the hidden advantages that favor those of us who are white, We're learning to recognize the everyday, ordinary times and places where systems or habits reinforce hierarchies and dominance. And also how repeatedly speaking up in the moment, taking regular actions to resist racism, can set a different pattern in motion. We heard the author Debbie Irving challenge her white readers especially to adopt a posture of self-examination and the courage to admit to bias and unhelpful inherited behavior, because this self-aware attitude is among our greatest tools for change. We're called to commit to this way of being, not just once, but over and over again each day throughout our lives. Just because we've now reached the other side of Lent and have finished reading one book on the subject doesn't mean we've successfully dealt with white privilege once and for all. We'll continue resisting such idolatry throughout our life together. And I hope you'll participate in future film screenings or activities on the subject. Whether or not those are available to you, each of us must decide how we ourselves will continue working with people of all colors and ethnicities to co-create communities that can unite, strengthen, and prosper. In other words, again, how will we be colts like the one in the gospel story, available and willing at a moment's notice to serve the realm of God in this moment and beyond? Think for a moment about the communion elements we've asked you to gather from your home for the service this morning. No doubt they are the ordinary things pulled from the cupboard or the refrigerator, the pantry. Whatever you have with you for food or drink is ordinary, not thought of as especially sacred in our everyday use. Yet in the service today, with intention and prayer, everyday bread and beverage become the holy elements by which Jesus reminds disciples of our eternal connection to each other and to him at the table of God's hospitality. These ordinary things are borrowed, blessed, and put to use for Christ's sake, in our homes, by our faith, and for the world. Are we similar? Are we committing our lives as sacraments for God's use in the same small and great ways? We have no headlights to show the entire journey of our lives, beloveds. Like Jesus at the start of Holy Week, we live from episode to episode, moment to moment. Yet, as E.L. Doctorow says, you can make the whole trip that way. The colt who carries Jesus at the beginning models for us humble and patient waiting for the next opportunity to be of service to God in the world. In the week ahead, may you know the satisfaction of committing to God's use for good throughout the ordinary and extraordinary moments of life. May we recognize divine glory among us even now and do something faithful for God in response. Amen.